Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 29th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm, on the web. In just a few minutes, we'll be bringing you some headlines, and I guess there was recently an action that took place in the Arctic drilling. The oil region and the Arctic, where Gazprom and other international interests are tapping out the last of their resources. All those stories in just a moment. First up with the headline, so it's come to this. In Northern California and Southern Oregon, secession dreamers have wanted their own state for more than a century. Now, residents of two counties will have a chance to voice that sentiment next week. Residents of California's largely rural, agrarian, and politically conservative far northern counties appear to both resent and mistrust the government at the same time. They've joined forces with other counties in Southern Oregon, who want to create for themselves a separate state of Jefferson. They have managed to take their issue all the way to the ballot box. Voters in Del Norte and Tehama counties, with a combined population of about 91,000, will decide on June 3rd, just days away, on an advisory measure that asks each county's board of supervisors to join a wider effort to form a 51st state named, what else, Jefferson. How this is going to work out, we don't know. It would be an island of libertarian, gun-toting individualists tucked away in the nether parts of Oregon. And we have to wonder what it's going to look like down there once every form of environmental protection has been rolled back. So we will wind up with, in Northern California, Southern Oregon, is a cesspool in the middle of paradise. Next, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice is asking for more information before any ruling on an effort by the National Organization for Marriage to halt same-sex marriages in Oregon. Wouldn't you know it, Justice Anthony Kennedy turns out to be one of the deciding factors. And it was just yesterday that Justice Kennedy asked that briefs be filed by Monday from the parties in the two lawsuits that led to U.S. District Judge Michael McShane's May 19th ruling that allowed gays and lesbians to marry in Oregon. Kennedy is the justice who hears emergency appeals from this particular region, including Oregon. How these decisions are made is something that is very interesting to delve into. We don't have time to do any delving at the moment, but you're free to delve on your own. Oregon lawmakers yesterday also urged state officials to look into backup plans in case Cover Oregon isn't ready to use the federal government's online health insurance enrollment system before the November deadline. Funny, isn't it, how everybody in the government, funny, the people who made all these colossal mistakes, cost millions of dollars and possibly even lives. They have all kinds of leeway to fix their problems. But if any, God forbid that any one of us who are at the mercy of these health insurance giants, if any of us miss a premium, miss anything at all, that we will be given some sort of get out of jail free, or get out of hospital bills free, as it would be in this case. And Oregon lawmakers are struggling right now with the problem which falls in their lap, and where the responsibility ultimately lies is anybody's guess. But my money is on the insurance companies. If it were not for their interference in all of this, we would be in much better shape as a nation. And the massive Canadian mining concern, Augusta Resource Corporation, is fending off a hostile takeover bid by Hudbay Minerals, two huge mining giants duking it out, dinosaurs essentially, shaking the earth. Well, they've suffered another setback, at least Augusta has suffered another setback. The company wasn't prepared for ocelots, but ocelot is what Augusta got. Augusta announced further complications in the permitting process for its Rosemont Copper Project in Arizona after the U.S. Forest Service finally stood up on its hind legs and formally requested that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reinitiate consultation required under the Endangered Species Act. Here's the word. Additional information includes the documented evidence of the presence. Wouldn't it be great if it wasn't President Ocelot? But it isn't. It's the presence of ocelots within or near the project area and conferencing on the potential listing of species which were not considered in the original biological opinion. And we pause at this moment to continue to get Don Dean with Greenpeace on the line. He'll be joining us by phone to talk about the Arctic action. This, of course, involves the Netherlands, too. It's a story which has somehow managed to evade the attention of mainstream media since its very inception, as a matter of fact. We'll be speaking with John Dean with Greenpeace in just a few minutes. It was windy, though, in Tel Aviv yesterday, but that only served to encourage activists. The Intrepid Environmental League rappelled down from the roof of City Hall in Tel Aviv to hang a 200 square meter, that would be closer to yards, you know, of course, 200 square, let's do the math here, 300, that would be 600 square foot banner encouraging Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Haldar to stop using controversial timber in Tel Aviv building projects. And managing in the process to sidestep the issue of building more and more settlements. The massive banner read, "And I climbed down off your tree," in Hebrew. That quote is an idiom meaning change your ways, and in English, stop Amazon crime. Apparently the timber that they're using is being illegally logged in the Amazon, where the deforestation continues at an ever-increasing rate. Activists were protesting the city's use of rare ipé trees from the Amazon rainforest in the construction of city projects. Tel Aviv port, for example, and further plans to use the timber's decking. Seven activists were arrested for disturbing the peace and refusing to leave the premises. And from the Look Who's Going to Prison department, the southern leg of the Keystone XL is in the ground, but Elizabeth Lair and Alec Johnson are still fighting. Elizabeth and Alec should be on the show with us, joining us by phone tomorrow, I believe. Both took direct action against the southern section of the Keystone XL pipeline. With the Great Plains tar sands resistance in Oklahoma, all these groups together are standing in solidarity against what the mainstream media again continues to report is already a done deal. Well, there are so many of these pipelines crisscrossing the nation right now, and any section of these networks that is taken out or removed from the system shuts the rest of the system down. So saying, well, the whole thing is virtually built and these activists are defending just a small section. It's possible, if you choose the right section, to shut the whole works down. Judiciously looking at maps of the patterns of the whole system, it's not difficult to figure out exactly where to direct activist energies. You shut down one section, you take out the whole work. So that in mind, Elizabeth was the first person to risk arrest opposing the KXL in Oklahoma. She locked herself to the construction equipment. We talked about this yesterday. It was a bike lock in the wee hours of February 4th. Alec Johnson is a climate justice organizer based in Nacogdoches, Texas. His action was last year. They're both going to jail, and proud of it, too. Tis the season for activists to be viewing the world from behind bars, which sometimes that's really the view that all of us are going to be. We may not know it, but that's the view that all of us have been enjoying this last decade plus after the passage of the USA Patriot Act. I want to mention that every day. I want people to be reminded. If you're listening, don't forget, every day of our lives, we live underneath this vast shadow of the USA Patriot Act, which has changed all of our lives in ways that are far from subtle. There is basically psychological blunt trauma, and it never stops. And we seem to have become utterly oblivious to these facts right now. Moving right along, we have reports from all manner of leftist and more open news sources that in the Petora Sea, to Greenpeace and Greenpeace activists have been arrested. They're being held right now. We're still trying to get in touch with anyone at all who is with Greenpeace. Possibly Kylie McDuff will be able to join us in just a few moments. Greenpeace has been active in that area for literally years now. The minute that the drilling started, Greenpeace was there, as were other activist organizations. Sea Shepherd also has taken a hand in these actions. And we've been following it as closely as possible for a while now. The way it's viewed is as a part of a system across the world right now. The oceans are virtually a mystery to most people. We know more about the surface of the moon than we do about the ocean floor. And yet that has not stopped corporations like Gazprom, which is state-owned, Limitless Resources, gas, of course, gas and oil exports are Russia's main source of income, and basically that's what paid for the recent fiasco of an Olympic Games, Winter Olympics, and now pays for military accomplishments in Ukraine, Crimea, and that part of the world. So what we're really talking about here is environmental justice. It's a human rights issue, and of course, it is ultimately the future of the planet. People have gone to jail once again, just as they did back in, I guess, the most recent example of Greenpeace interfering with oil drilling exploitation and extraction in that part of the world. Well, it was last September when two Greenpeace International activists were arrested during a protest in the Russian Arctic, while two others are now scaling Gazprom's oil drilling platform. I'm watching this actually as it unfolds on the Greenpeace website. The September action was one of those pivotal. Last September's action was one of those pivotal points, and now we are again trying to follow up and bring you news of what's going on right now. And at the moment, it's we are in a holding pattern. People have been arrested, and we are waiting to see what their fate's going to be. This has been Air Cascadia for May 29th, 2014. Ruck Bergeron, engine of the show today. Thank you so much today, Ruck. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, Obama goes to West Point to declare success in Afghanistan and readies the nation for an expanded U.S.-supported war in Syria. And we'll remember the great poet, orator, dancer, actress, world traveler, Maya Angelou, who passed away early this morning and will be deeply missed. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, the President of the United States will be at West Point today talking about his military strategy for the future as Commander-in-Chief. The big news is supposedly he has